I'd like to continue in Mark 10 this morning, that we had this morning. So if you take your Bibles and open to Mark 10, we had, for those of you who have just joined us, we considered the passage there of Jesus blessing the children. And he did that because their parents had a desire that God, or that Jesus, would touch them. And he took the children, verse 16 says, in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And the next story that Mark places here, it's in the other Gospels as well. You'll find it in Matthew, you'll find it in Luke. It's a story of a young man. And I think if you put the details together, you find that he was a rich young man. Some Gospels say he was a rich young ruler. And so let's pick it up at the 17th verse. Mark 10, verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What must I do to inherit eternal life? Do you think it was a good question that he asked? Do you think that was I think it was a genuine, heartfelt question. He wasn't like some of the others that questioned Jesus to try to trip him up or to catch him in his words or, you know, just to be deceitful in their asking. No, I think this young man, had a real, genuine question. And why did he have that question? Because I think something was missing in his life. All right, just keep that in mind as we read this. And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." So what was Jesus saying to him? He was saying, well, you know what the Ten Commandments are, right? Another place, when they had asked Jesus what was the greatest commandments, what did he say? He said to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That's the first commandment. And the second is like to love your neighbor as yourself. But here Jesus points him to the Ten Commandments that Moses had given. And how does this young man reply? 20, "Teacher, master," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." You think that was honest? I think it was. I really do. I think he was a good boy. I think he tried his best. I think his parents brought him up well. And he had endeavored with everything within him to live in accordance with those commandments. And I say that because, again, he asked this question about eternal life. And he found, in even keeping of the commandments, there was something yet that was missing. Let's go on. "Teacher," he declared, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." And I like this. Mark is the one that includes this thought. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And I think there is that. See, I think Jesus saw that he was being truthful, that he was being, that there was a true seeking and a searching in his heart for something more. And when Jesus saw that, when Jesus heard the question he had asked and his response, how he had endeavored to do his best in keeping these commandments since he was a boy, Jesus looked on him and loved him. I think he saw his heart. But in that love, Jesus points out the one thing that was missing. The one thing that would make all the difference. He says, "One thing you lack." Just one thing. I wonder when Jesus looks at us, there might be quite a few things. You could fix that, you could fix that, you could do that, you could, right? But for this young man, it was just one thing. Just one thing is missing. Go. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Wow. I compare this to the story of Zacchaeus. You know the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. Climbed up in the sycamore tree. You know that one? Oh, yeah. You know that story? Yes, you know that story, right? Well, what happened when Zacchaeus repented and came to Christ? What happened? Do you remember at the house? What did he say? He said, half. Half my possessions I give to the... If I've stolen, I'm going to restore for... But half my possessions. And Jesus said, salvation has come. Now, this poor guy, I mean, this rich guy, he had to give everything. Sell all that you have. Give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. So it tells me something about this man. Where was this man's treasure? It was in his riches. He was a good man, but God was not his treasure. You understand? God was not his treasure. His possessions, his riches were his treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. You see, something else had his heart. And even though he was willing to try and keep all the commandments and have his riches at the same time, you see, that's where the problem was. That's why something was missing. That's why he said, how do I inherit eternal life? Something's missing in my life. I don't have that assurance that I'm going to heaven. And Jesus said, if you do that, you will have treasure in heaven. Lay up for yourselves, not treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then he said, come, follow me. Now, I think that's a pretty amazing statement. Then come, follow me. Jesus wasn't just saying, just follow on behind the crowd. You know, get in the back of the line. What was he saying to him? Come and be my disciple. Be one of my disciples. Like he had called Matthew, like he had called Peter and James and John and Andrew and Bartholomew and Nathaniel. All of them were his disciples. He had called them, and here's calling. He's calling this man. Come, follow me. How had Matthew responded to that call? It says he left that tax collector booth and he followed Jesus. How about Peter and Andrew, James and John? It says they left their nets. They did it. They just left it behind. But for this man, it says at this, verse 22, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. I think that it's not so much the fact that it was riches. Because I think there can be other things that captivate or hold our hearts. But for this man, the thing that had his heart was his riches, his possessions. And maybe he had worked very hard to obtain them. I don't know. Maybe he had poured his sweat and his time and his energy into obtaining this. Maybe he had worked very hard for this. The Bible doesn't tell us. But it was something that he was not willing to let go. It's almost as if he came to God, you know, with his hands closed and said, God, I want you. Jesus, I want eternal life, but he's holding this in his hands. And Jesus says, well, I want to give you eternal life. I'm going to tell you, but you've got to open your hands. You've got to give me what you are holding on to or what's holding you. You know, sometimes we don't realize the things that hold our hearts and our heart's attention and affection. And Jesus says, just open your hands and give it to me. Come and be my disciple. Follow me. I want your love. I want your heart. You see, really, Christianity, so to speak, or this Christian way that we have, if our hearts are not given to Christ, then it's just religion. It's just something that we do. But when we give God our hearts, well, that's all the difference. When we pour out our love before him. You know, there are other stories in the Gospels. I think of this woman. She had an alabaster box of precious ointment. And what did she do with that box? She broke it at the feet of Jesus. She washed his feet, anointed his head, because she loved him. She was willing to give her best, to give her heart, because she loved Jesus. I think that's, to me, the heart, really, of this relationship that we have with God. You know, our Christian experience is not about Christian knowledge or Bible knowledge or knowing the doctrines of the Bible. That's all good and right and well, and we need to know those things. But our heart is what Jesus bled and died for. He gave his all for your all. He gave himself fully so that he could have you fully. And so here we have a story of a young man who had a choice. I like to think that at some point he changed his mind. I'd like to think that after maybe he was part of the 3,000, you know, on the day of Pentecost, I got saved. Who knows? Why not? He had met Jesus face to face. Jesus had spoken into his life, looked on him, loved him. Son, I love you. Just give me your heart. Give me your heart. And that's what he asks of us, beloved. It's no different. No different. Growing up in a pastor's home, we had opportunity to visit different churches from time to time. Sometimes on vacation even, we always would find a church. I mean, no matter what. You said amen to that, right? We go to church on Sunday morning. Did I tell you the story of my family going to church? Now I'm doing two stories at once. I'm sorry. I'm going to give you another little story in parentheses, all right? I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. Mom was still alive, right? Finger Lakes. We went to the Finger Lakes in New York. And it was a little town. We had never been there before. We found a place right on the lake, one of the lakes. And there was a road that we rode our bicycles on. And as we rode, we passed a little church. So I said, we're going to go to that church on Sunday morning. Oh, Daddy, we could have church in our room. You could, you're the pastor. I said, no, we're going to go to church on Sunday morning, you know. By that way. And so, sure enough, Sunday morning, my wife stands by my side. Yes, we're going to take the kids to church. And so we did. And it was a very small place. I think it was, you know, it was a vacation community, so it wasn't a big congregation. There maybe wasn't just one other family there and a few other older ladies. But there was a family there, another family there. And so at the end of the service, they greeted us. And outside, the father says to us, would you like to come over and go water skiing at our house? I look at my kids and I go, yeah, I think they would. I don't know if we did it on Sunday. I'm not going to go there. I don't remember now. I really don't. I really don't. We went back another day. See, my wife's got the story straight. So, but we went back another day. But I told Mike, and we did water skiing, and Audrey was the only one of my kids who got up. And then they did a tube. You know, they just had a blast. I mean, they had a house at the bottom of the lake, and it turned out that they knew your brother Stephen from Buffalo. It was like wild. But anyway. So I said to my kids, I said, you see what happens when you go to church on Sunday? We didn't sing that morning as a family in church, but what I was trying to say was when I was growing up, we would sing. And the one song that we sang, it became our family song, was nothing less than full surrender. Nothing less than yielding all. Nothing less than gladly saying, here am I at Jesus' call. Giving body, soul, and spirit for the Master to possess. Working out His will and purpose. Offer Jesus nothing less. And that somehow worked its way in my heart, you know. Again, it doesn't just happen because we sing it, but somehow the Lord was able to work that into my heart. And there came a time when we have to make our choice, beloved. Are we going to give Jesus our all? Or are we going to keep it, as it were, to ourselves? Are we going to hold something? You see, that one thing it seems that you hold on to is the thing that Jesus is going to ask you to give. See, because He wants all of you. He wants all of you. Because only when you give all can He truly come and fill you with Himself and fill you with His Holy Spirit. He wants all my heart. He wants all my heart's affection. He wants all my worship. And so nothing less. This man made a choice. Maybe we would have known his name if he would have said yes. But he goes as one who is nameless because he chose his riches over Christ. And as I said, it can be something besides riches. It can be maybe your desire to please someone or a relationship that you are in or a desire to have that you put ahead of God. Maybe it's a career choice that you're holding on to. And again, those things aren't bad. They're not wrong in themselves. I'm not saying that. But if Jesus has another plan, another desire, then you need to be willing to lay down your will and to choose Him. Jesus, I choose You. I choose to follow. I choose to be Your disciple. I choose to give You my heart. You know, I think it's something that we teach our children, that at a very young age we ask them or tell them, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. You need to give Him your heart. And that's right for us to teach our children that. But then I think there are, as they get older, there will be times or there will be a choice that comes to them where they need to make God their choice. And I think we as parents and adults, and as we talked about in this Christian community and our this family of God, we as adults, we need to model that for our children again and again and again and again. They need to see that we choose Jesus all the time. They need to see that we love the Lord first, that we love Him with all our heart and soul and strength and mind. And so we're responsible as well to choose Him again and again and again.